Good morning, everybody.
I am Pastor Phil. Glad to have you all here this morning. Couple of quick announcements. First of all, in your bulletin, there is a connection card. If you can take the time to fill that out, we'd appreciate it. Let us know of your presence here. If you have prayer requests, please put that on the back. We do pray for those every single week. If you want to communicate with us about anything, put that on the back as well, and that'll be very great. And another thing we want you to put on the communication card is this week we are starting our sign-ups for our growth groups, our small group home Bible studies. You'll find in your bulletin an insert there that lists all the different studies that we have that are going to be starting next week. Not this week, but next week. So if you are interested in one, please just mark it on your bulletin, all right, or on your connection card. I would be interested in being part of Ray Connor's group or Jose's group, or, you know, you get the idea, all right? So just mark that. And what will happen is that the group leader will come to your door with a $50 gift card to welcome you to their group.
What?
Okay, maybe not that. But they will contact you to make sure you get the invitation to their group. So we got some great groups going. Cecilia is going to be leading a group for women only. They're going to be studying 1 Peter, a small group study written by a very famous writer, author, myself. Chris Borromeo is going to continue his men's group at the Country Skillet on Thursday mornings. Ray is going to start a new group back there, still deciding on his topic. Hopefully by next week we'll get that one down. And then Jose and Chuck are going to continue their group on Fridays. Okay, very good. On Fridays. And I always hear good things about their group, so you want to check that out. Karen and Ezra Engel are going to start a new group. This is specifically for people who may not be Christians yet, or people who are new Christians, people who feel like, you know, I don't understand much yet about the Christian faith. And I've got questions. I'd like to learn something, and I'd like to go to a safe place where I could ask my questions, where they won't look at me and think like, well, you know, boy, he must, you know, who's this person who doesn't know anything? We want you to know everything, and this is going to be a safe group to be part of that, so you can take part of that as well and enjoy that. And then Peter Gothold and Paula will continue their group for young adults. The young adults is a nebulous title. They do not define it, so if you feel like you're a young adult, you can try to sneak into their group. I tried and they kicked me out. No, they didn't. But that's all coming up, so just want to let you know about that. Also, coming up in another, what, about 5 weeks now? Trunk or Treat is coming up. Trunk or Treat is a fantastic way in which we get to bless our community here in Pittsburgh by offering trick or treat candy and fun down at the park in old Pittsburgh. Last year we figured on, the park district actually told us about 1,000 people or more came. And so we expect at least that much, if not more, again this year. So we're going to need your help. In fact, we're going to need everybody's help to be part of that, not only just with donating candy and things like that, but to bring a car and to decorate it so the kids can come from car to car and pick up candy. We'll need people to run some games, carnival games and things like that we'll have going on. So those signups are coming very, very quickly, but we're planting the seed in your head. And then also coming up very, very quickly, next Sunday will be my last Sunday. I know, you guys already know that, so save your tears to next week. I've had a fantastic time here as your interim pastor. Your new pastor, Steve Hoden and Rebecca, they were able to move into their home yesterday. Thank you all who came out to help them move in. They are thrilled with their house. They're thrilled to be here. They're also kind of worn out and tired from driving across the country, basically spending the last week on the road. So next week they will be here. You'll get to see them, and we're going to be doing some fun things to pass the baton on to them, and you can look forward to what God is going to do in your midst as Steve comes and joins with you guys. So your energy and his energy come together. God's going to do explosive things.
And it's a potluck.
A potluck? Really? Yes, after the service, there is going to be a potluck in somebody's honor. And and so, you know, potlucks are only successful when you actually bring some food. So plan on doing that, okay? I think that is pretty much all the announcements we have for right now. So if you guys would stand again, we're going to continue our worship. So, if you are from my generation, you will remember a radio news personality by the name of Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey was famous for his, "And now for the rest of the story," where he would end all his news, sharing all the news, the bad news, and that kind of stuff, with a human interest story. So here's one of his rest of the stories. "We visit Altoona, Pennsylvania, where TV anchorman Brandon Brooks used his own home to demonstrate to his viewers how to protect their homes from burglars. Double locks on the doors, windows that will not open from the outside, burglar alarms, and more. And now, for the rest of the story. It appears that thieves were watching the program. They not only learned about the double locks, but where the TV was and where the valuables were. So a few nights later, while Brandon Brooks was on the air back at the studio, the thieves broke into his house and cleaned him out. That window that went open from the outside, they simply smashed it to get in." Now, you're wondering why I told you that story. I'll get back to it. We've been studying the book of Acts so far, and we're getting close to the end. And it's been exciting to study it because we've seen how God took this group of disciples who were despondent, who were discouraged, who were defeated after the crucifixion, and he fired them up and filled them with energy and passion and then unleashed them on the world. And it's been exciting to me, and I hope it's been exciting to you, because we know that what they experienced, we can experience for ourselves if we will believe what they believed and we will do what they did. But now, I need to tell the rest of the story. And it's a tough story. Tough but inspiring. It is a story of hardship, but also heroism. A story of men and women who heroically were willing to even give up their lives to face death for a cause they felt was worth it. And this is a story that runs throughout the book of Acts. So if we don't take the time to tell the hard part, if we don't take the time to tell this story, we would not be doing the book of Acts, our study of the book of Acts, justice. Nor would we be doing the men and women who acted so heroically justice. Because if it weren't for their heroism, we wouldn't be able to experience the salvation, the good news, and the joy of Jesus Christ today. If it weren't for their heroism, the good news would have been stopped 2,000 years ago, just as it was getting started. So we don't want to forget their heroism, because if we forget it, if we don't follow their example, if we allow the good news to be stopped in our generation because of our faithlessness, then generations to come are going to feel the impact of what happened. So now we're going to look at the rest of the story. And it is a story about persecution. And it's an ongoing story throughout the book of Acts. So I want to kind of run it down a little bit, run through it. So in your bulletin, in your outlines, there is a whole list of all the, not even all of them, but some of the examples of persecution that runs through the book of Acts. So let's take a look at that. First, right away in Acts chapter 4, the apostles Peter and John are arrested because they dared to talk about Jesus. How did they respond? Well, they responded to the Jewish court by saying, "Judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And what was the result of this persecution? It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Next chapter, very next chapter, Acts chapter 5, Peter and John are arrested again for preaching about Jesus. And now they're really upset with them. Now they not only got arrested, but they got flogged. They got whipped because they dared to defy the Jewish court. How did they respond again to this Jewish court? They said, "We must obey God rather than men." Now, what's interesting is how one of the leaders in the Jewish court responded. Gamaliel was his name. And he said this to the rest of his colleagues in the court. He said, "I advise you to leave these men alone. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." What was the result? The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news. That is Jesus the Christ. Next chapter, Acts chapter 6. Stephen gets arrested and then gets martyred. Now you might remember Stephen. We talked about him a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago. Stephen was one of those guys that was selected to help feed the widows. It was one of those internal conflicts the church, one of the first internal conflicts the church was facing, that some of the widows were feeling like, you know what, we're getting left out. You know, you're caring for these widows, the Jewish widows, but not the Greek widows. And so Stephen was one of the people chosen to kind of take care of that, to basically serve tables. But as we see, he did more than just serve tables. He preached about Jesus. He shared about it powerfully to the extent that they arrested him. How did he respond to the court? He said, "You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him." They didn't like hearing that. They had Stephen stoned to death. What was the result? Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Because of Stephen's martyrdom, the Christians started to spread out. They started to leave Jerusalem and they started spreading out. But as they spread out, they didn't keep their mouth shut. They continued to talk about Jesus. So remember the mission statement from Acts chapter 1:8? "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Here we see it. It's starting to happen. It's starting to spread out. Acts chapter 12, James the apostle, John's brother, is martyred. The result, we're told, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. And then in Acts chapter 13, that's when Paul, and from there, from Acts chapter 13 through the rest of the book of Acts, that's when Paul starts his missionary trips. And on his trips, we know from reading it that he was frequently arrested and put in jail. Five times he received the 40 lashes minus one. Because in Roman thinking, 40 lashes meant death. And they wanted to whip you right up to the point before you die. So it was 40 lashes minus one. That was a literal thing they did. Five times he experienced that. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned himself. All right? And when I talk about stoned, I'm not talking about the marijuana kind. I'm talking about the big rock kind. All right? He was stoned and left for dead. How did he respond? Well, he wrote to the church in Philippi. From prison, by the way, he wrote this, and he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then he shared the result of what was happening. He says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Nearly every chapter in the book of Acts is a record of opposition and resistance and persecution to faith in Jesus Christ. And every century since, there has been opposition and resistance and persecution to Jesus Christ. So the rest of the story is this. If you are going to be a sold out, all out, nothing can stop you, devoted follower of Jesus, if you are going to take a stand for Jesus and tell the story of Jesus, you will, not might, you will face opposition, resistance, and persecution. Aren't you glad you came this far? Right? This shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus himself promised this. John 15:20, he said, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Now, that's not a promise you'll find in one of those nice little promise books, you know, in the bookstore. You know, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. You're not going to find that on a Hallmark card. No one needle points that, you know, and puts that on their wall. If they persecute you, they will persecute you also. But that's the promise Jesus makes. And when we face persecution, there's either one of two responses we can have. The first is this: it can knock us down and it can literally knock us out. That's the whole purpose of persecution, right? To get us to stop doing what we are doing, to get people to stop doing whatever they're doing by using fear and intimidation and violence and even death. So it can knock us out, or it can fire us up. In the book of Acts, we see the believers getting fired up in the face of the persecution, in the face of the resistance. The more resistance they experienced, the bolder they got. We just read that. The more they talked about Jesus, the more excited they got. Their faith was not weakened by danger and hardship. It was strengthened. And as a result, God's power just exploded all over the Roman Empire. Now, you know what that reminds me of? How many of you remember or you know, watched Star Trek The Next Generation? Remember that show? Okay, so who was the enemy, that powerful, unstoppable alien force that they always fought against? Remember who that was? The Borg. Good, the Borg. And what was the Borg's famous saying? Resistance is futile. That could be the subtitle of the book of Acts. Resistance is futile. The more they tried to stop the believers from talking about Jesus, the more they tried to stop them from even believing in Jesus, the more fired up they got. Resistance was futile. The more the word spread, the movement grew, it got stronger. And those prophetic words of Gamaliel to the Jewish court came true. If this is from God, you will not be able to stop them. So the question isn't whether or not we are going to face opposition and resistance and even persecution. Jesus has already promised that. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but today there is more persecution against Christians in the world today than there was back then. In fact, scholars, people who study this, will tell you that more Christians have lost their lives because they were Christians in the last 100 years than the previous 1900 years combined. So scholars say that Christians are the most persecuted group in the world. So let me just give you a few egregious examples. In 2015, you guys saw this on the news, I'm sure. 21 Christians were beheaded on a beach in Libya by ISIS. 20 of them were Christians from a small village in Egypt. But one of those killed was a black man from Chad. And according to reports, he was not even a Christian. However, when moments before his death, the extremists demanded that he follow Islam, he turned them down. After reportedly witnessing the immense faith of the Egyptian Christians, he decided to become a follower of Christ. So on camera, one of the terrorists asked him, "Do you reject Christ?" And he responded, "Their God is my God." Also in 2015, on Good Friday, four members of the Al-Shabaab terrorist group based in neighboring Somalia stormed Garissa University. You saw this on the news as well. They went dorm to dorm looking specifically for Christians. Killed 149 Christians. Christian students. In Pakistan, a young couple by the name of Shema and Shahzad, that's them right there, were killed by a Muslim mob at the brick kiln where they worked. The owner of the kiln instigated the attack. They were beaten, they were tied to a tractor and dragged for 30 minutes and then burned alive in the kiln. This year, two churches in Egypt were bombed during Palm Sunday services. Just a few months ago, vehicles that were carrying Coptic Christians on their way to a famous and popular monastery was attacked. 49 of them were killed, including children. In Iraq, where the church has existed since the book of Acts, thousands of Christians have been killed. Hundreds of thousands have fled. They said that the Christian population in Iraq was 1.5 million. Today, they believe it's less than 250,000. In some parts of China, state governments have started tearing crosses off of churches. A pastor who publicly opposed this program was arrested and sentenced to 14 years of hard labor. His wife, 12 years of hard labor. In many countries, it's against the law to convert to Christianity. It's against the law to even become a Christian, and it's enforced by imprisonment and even death. So if we look at this map here, you can't really see the world, but this is Africa right here, Indonesia. But these countries in red, that's where there's a death penalty for becoming a Christian. In brown, you go to prison. In yellow, it's still a crime to become a Christian. Persecution's happening around the world. I put there in your bulletin a couple websites you can go to that tell you what's going on and kind of share stories. Persecution.com, opendoorsusa.org, Voice of the Martyrs is another one. But that can keep you up to date. These are not just stories they're making up. These are stories that have been researched. They're not just anecdotal. They're stories with facts behind them. All right? So, fortunately and blessedly, here in the United States, we don't face that kind of persecution. Now, we sometimes complain that we Christians are being persecuted. No, that almost does not do justice and do honor to those who really are being persecuted. We face some opposition sometimes. We face resistance. But in the face of the type of persecution and opposition we just talked about, we still allow much smaller things to shut us up, to stop us, and to get us to compromise our faith. So let me give you one example. Peer pressure. Something as simple as the fear of being ignored. The fear of being laughed at. The fear of being kind of ostracized. Something as simple as that can shut us up, can shut us down. People are losing their lives over speaking for Christ. Can we really be silenced by the fear of disapproval? May it never be. May it never be. Another example, money. Money's another area of resistance that can knock us out. So let me keep this real. All right, give you a real example. Let's just imagine you're a salesman, okay? You are pitching a brand new product your company is about to launch. You're pitching it to a major client. Now, when I talk about, making a sale, this is a multi-million dollar sale, okay? This is a big product. This is a big sale. This is going to make or break your year. The commission from this is unbelievable. Now, you've just been told by your company that some of the key features of this product will not be ready in time for launch. They're in the pipeline, they're coming, but they're not going to be ready in time for launch. The problem is that you know that your client, those key features are the ones that they're most interested in. Those key features are the reason they would buy this product. So your boss has told you to not tell your client that those features won't be ready in time for launch so that the sale will go through. your bonus is on the line. Your year is on the line. You will likely get a promotion if you make this sale. If you fail to make the sale, if you tell them that these features aren't going to be ready and the sale doesn't go through, forget the promotion. You probably, possibly could lose your job. And it's a down market, and it's going to be hard to get another job, and you've got a whole family to support and take care of, and how are you going to pay the bills? Money. That's resistance. That's resistance. Is it going to shut you up? Or is it going to fire you up to honor Christ by having integrity? Will resistance be futile? We will face resistance and opposition and persecution. Jesus promised it. So, since we know we will face it, the question is, what are we going to do to prepare for it? So that we aren't all of a sudden, where did this come from? And oh, Jesus, why would you allow this to happen? And Jesus goes, I promised it would happen. Why aren't you prepared? So what can we do to prepare for it, all right? First thing I'd like to suggest is this. We need to ask ourselves, who and what will I trust? Are we going to worship popularity? Are we going to worship money? Are we going to believe our physical life is more important than our eternal life? I want you to imagine eternity as a rope that stretches from Brentwood to San Francisco, okay? Now, that rope actually has a beginning and an end, but we're just going to use it for sake. Imagine a rope that would stretch all the way from Brentwood to San Francisco. If that represents eternity, your life would represent the point of a sewing needle. Your life, in comparison to eternity, is a pinprick in time. But the decisions you make in that pinprick will affect you for all of eternity. So are you going to put all your trust into your physical life in this moment and not in eternity? Or are you going to put your trust in eternity? Are you going to put your trust in money? Or are you going to put your trust in Christ? Are you going to put are you going to worship popularity? And I want people to laugh at my jokes. I want people to be my friends. And I don't want to be ostracized. Or are you going to worship God? You have to ask yourself, who or what will I trust? When the disciples in Acts were being persecuted, when they were facing the court, they had to decide, who or what am I going to trust? And their response was, we must obey God rather than men. What made them so bold? What made them so bold in the face of persecution? It's the fact that they actually trusted Jesus. They knew that Jesus was real. They had no doubt about it. They knew that Jesus taught them that I give eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. They knew that their lives were safe for eternity, so they could be bold in the pinprick of persecution. Paul also put his trust in Jesus, which is why he could tell the church in Rome, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are going to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now there's a speech that will get the team fired up. These believers had experienced the risen Jesus Christ. They knew he was real. They saw him die. They saw him resurrect. And others who did witness the resurrection had experienced the real Jesus Christ at work in their lives. So they knew he was real. They knew he was God. They were confident. They knew they had a cause worth dying for. Their physical life was nothing compared to eternal life. so they were prepared. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves, who or what will we trust? The second thing is this, we need to build a real faith in God, all right? Christian faith is more than just talk. Christian faith is more than just coming on Sunday and hearing about Jesus and even singing about Jesus, talking about Jesus. It's about having a real friendship with the living Jesus, an experience that you can have with this of relationship and friendship. And I know no other way to develop this friendship with Jesus than to use the tools that he's given us to build that relationship. So what is important gets repeated, so I'm going to repeat it again. What are those tools? Bible study. God's living word. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, prayer. Connecting and talking with the living God. Serving. Because when we go out and serve, we allow God's power to work through us, to touch those we are serving. We get to experience that. Fellowship, friendship, because God speaks to us through each other. We experience the love of God. We experience the touch of Christ through the love we express to one another. We bring Christ to one another. Worship. Praising God, recognizing God's greatness and God's glory and God's might and his grace and his love and his forgiveness, his protection, his provision, all the things we talked about in prayer just this morning. Witnessing, telling the story of Jesus. I used to be like this. And then I found Jesus Christ, and this is how I found him. This is how Jesus met me. And as a result, this is what Jesus has done in my life now. Sharing the story of Jesus. And as we do that, we see the power of Jesus work, not only through us, but we see it work in other people's lives as they receive that story and accept it. And we see the change happen in their lives. All these things build up our friendship with Jesus. Too often we treat these things as got-tos, right? I got to study my Bible. I've got to pray. I'm supposed to serve, right? We do them out of guilt, or we do them in an attempt to earn brownie points with God and to earn his favor. We miss the point. These are things that we do to build a friendship with Jesus Christ. These are the things that allow us to experience Jesus' work in our lives. They connect us to God so that we have this fantastic experience. So we get fired up because we know these are the things that build the friendship with God. So yes, I don't have to do them. I want to do them because I know this is how I build a real faith. This is how Jesus connects in my life. I want to tell you a story. It happened in the early hundreds, not the early 1900s, the early hundreds. There was a bishop by the name of Polycarp who was burned to death for his faith in Jesus. And it went like this. When the Roman soldiers came to arrest him, it is said that he welcomed them as friends and insisted that they stay for a meal before they took him away. When he stood in front of the proconsul told him, "Curse God and I will let you go." Polycarp's reply was, "For 86 years I have served him. He has never done me wrong. How then can I blaspheme the king who saved me?" The proconsul recognized that Polycarp was a very good man. He wanted to let him go. All his life had been an epitome of love and kindness, so he looked for a way out to let this guy go. So he said, "Do this, old man. Just swear. Swear by the spirit of the emperor, and that will be sufficient." And Polycarp's reply was, "If you imagine for a moment that I would do that, then I think you pretend that you do not know who I am. So hear it plainly. I am a Christian." This angered the proconsul, and he threatened him with the wild beast. The Polycarp's reply was, "Bring them forth. I would change my mind if it meant going from worst to best, but not change it from right to wrong." Then the proconsul threatened, "I will burn you alive." And Polycarp's reply was, "You threaten with fire that burns for an hour and is over, but the judgment on the ungodly is forever." Polycarp was ready for persecution because he had built a real faith with God over 86 years of his life. Let us do the same thing. Third thing we can do to prepare. is focus on the opportunity. Now, this one might sound like a weird one, but there is actually opportunity within persecution. So I want to get you thinking about that a little bit. The first opportunity is a wake-up call, right? Because it's during persecution that our faith will get weighed and measured. It's when we are being persecuted that we find out how strong our faith in Jesus really is. Do we mean it, or are we just talking about it? We find out if we trust it or not. And sometimes we might find out that it ain't as strong as we thought it was. Sometimes we cave in and we find out that trust is not what I thought it was. And that's a wake-up call. That's an opportunity to actually, rather than caving in, to say, you know what, it's not as strong as I thought, and build a stronger faith in Jesus Christ. So it's a wake-up call. Second thing it is, it's a workout. Athletes build strength by using resistance training, right? It's the resistance, that's the weight, it's the resistance that makes our muscles stronger. So when we experience resistance to our faith, it can make us stronger in the same way. So during hardship, when all our props are getting knocked out, when all the things that prop up our life are being taken away, and now all we've got is God, God's all we've got, that's the opportunity to discover that God is all we need. When God is all we got, that gives us the opportunity to experience that God is all we need. And when we experience that God is all we need, our trust grows stronger. Our faith grows stronger. Our confidence increases. When we know that God is all we need, we're willing to take bigger risks because we have stronger faith that God can do bigger things. And we experience more of His power at work being released. So it's a wake-up call, it's a workout, and finally, it's an opportunity to witness. The light of Jesus never shines brighter than when it's under resistance, right? Because that's when we expect people to cave. That's when we expect people to back away, and all of us can say, yeah, I knew it. All talk, right? So it becomes this incredible opportunity to witness where people can see our real faith. They can see real love. They can see real grace. In 1985, a pastor in Bulgaria named Crystal Kolesev was arrested and put in jail. His crime was preaching in his church. He had a trial. He was sentenced to 8 months. And guess what he did in jail? He immediately talked about Jesus. Started sharing Jesus in jail. When he got out, he wrote this: both prisoners and jailers asked many questions. We had a more fruitful ministry there in jail than we could have expected in church. God was better served by our presence in prison than if we had been free. It's an opportunity to witness. After those church bombings in Egypt this spring, the Christians, rather than scattering, gathered together in their bombed-out churches, and Christians all across Egypt gathered together every single day from Palm Sunday to Easter to pray. Egypt's version of CNN, so a big national news television station, ran a two-hour special on Christianity where they interviewed one of the leaders of the Coptic Christian Church, and they interviewed the leader of the Evangelical Christian Church, Sammy Maurice, who I talked about just last week, the pastor who taught his congregation to pray that their neighbors had visions and dreams of Jesus Christ. So they both got interviewed on this two-hour program, and they both had these opportunities to share about what Easter meant and about why Jesus Christ died on the cross. For a Muslim, Jesus' death is proof that he cannot be God, because it's just abhorrent to think that God would suffer. So they got to share about Jesus dying on the cross and why he died on the cross, and then his resurrection back to life, and the forgiveness and the new life it gave. 2 hours. It became a witness to all of Egypt. Resistance is futile. They blew up churches trying to shut them up. Instead, all of Egypt got to hear the gospel. So let me ask you, under peer pressure, under financial threat or physical threat, will you be prepared to respond boldly? to take a stand. Will you be prepared to share the good news and allow God to be glorified and His power to be released and the good news to continue to spread? You will be if you make the decision in who or what you trust. I trust Jesus. I worship God. And you build your faith. You can build, continue to build that friendship, that experience of Jesus Christ in your life, and you recognize the opportunities. And that's the rest of the story. I'm going to pass out to you a handout right now. This comes from Open Doors USA, and it's their list of the top 10 countries where the persecution is the worst, where persecution is happening the most and happening the worst. So we're going to pass those out, and you're each going to get a different country or one or two countries. So that you can have that. And as we go into a time of prayer, what I want you to do is to pray for the Christians in that country that you have in the handout. So it's coming around to you right now. Just take one per person, one per couple, however you want to do it. You can consider this the 10 worst list when it comes to the persecution of people who believe in Jesus Christ. And they are wondering, are there other believers out there in the world who know? Are there other believers out there in the world who care? Are there other believers out there who will stand with me? And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray with them and pray for them. So let's take a moment to pray. Our mighty God, we come before you. Our rock, our shield, our protector, we come before you. And we recognize that taking a stand for you is going to put us in the crosshairs of Satan and all his forces who desire to stop us. And so this morning we want to pray for those believers in other parts of the world who are suffering for their faith, for taking a stand. So I encourage you right now, just silently, to pray for the believers in the country you're holding in your hand. There's even some ways to pray for them listed on your sheet. But pray for God's protection, pray for God's strength. Pray that Jesus' light continues to shine in that country and through them. And God, I pray that around the world, your power's at work. That the good news gets shared. That believers stand on the foundation of their faith. I pray for their protection. I pray that you'll protect them against the powers of evil. I pray for their witness. That their witness and your light breaks down the powers. I pray with our Egyptian brothers and sisters that non-believers here in Pittsburgh and around the world will have visions and dreams of your presence that will so shake them that they know that they've just had an encounter with the living Jesus Christ that changes their life. It happened in the book of Acts. It happened to Saul. It can happen again. And God, I pray that you will help us to continue to take a stand, to continue to share the good news and tell the story of Jesus, to not hide the light that you bring to our own lives. That you allow us to speak up in ways that can be received and heard. That you allow us to continue to be a blessing to our neighbors and to our community, to our co-workers, to our friends and our family. That you will continue to become more and more real in our lives. So that we experience that friendship that becomes the anchor, becomes that foundation that allows us to stand strong. And Lord, we claim your promise that the gates of hell cannot even prevail against the power of salvation. May we be a church that proclaims your salvation. Pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen to that. There you go this morning, remembering that God is you, and you take God wherever you go. So when you're in joy, when you're in pain, God shares the pain and joy. And you get to experience God's presence in the midst of it. So if God has spoken to you, I know it was a tougher message. I don't like preaching about persecution. The story that needs to be told. But God is with you. So go take God out to your friends and your family, to this community. Next week is going to be a wonderful day. Come to lunch. The new pastor's going to be here. We're going to pass it to Tom. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have some food. So look forward to that. As God bless you, go and be a blessing.